Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and moment. Like always, thank you for another life, another day that we can live over here in the earth. That this is a great blessing that you're giving us this opportunity to continue providing all the purpose that you are already destined to us, and also helping others to continue reaching your purpose in their life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, be here, bless the church, bless everyone, and be you speaking, not me. Please, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, help us to continue understanding your word and apply it, live it, so that way we can be transformed, conformed to your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen and amen. Okay. I have two utensils over here, and I want to make sure that you guys are ready for this message. I was asking Victor if he have a knife so I can use his help, but he's saying no. So I have to get this from the kitchen. You guys know what I'm talking about? We're going to talk about circumcision today. Ouch. You like it. Hallelujah. Okay. So I'm not going to talk about external circumcision. You know that. So we're going to, today, we're going to continue the series about hearts of hearts, right? The heart of hearts. This is going to be the sermon number 4, which is going to be circumcision. Because according to the Bible, it's also talking about circumcise your heart. Not just the external. And we will be going through some scriptures related to this, because God wants us to get inside of that heart and circumcise it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So as you guys know, we already talked about a heart that believes. We talked about God's heart last weekend. We also talked about heart condition. And today we're going to talk about the circumcision. What is a circumcision? In order to explain that a little bit, I have to explain some, but I'm not going to details. So I understand that we have family members here. I'm going to let you guys explain to your kids. Okay? We're good? Okay. So as you guys know, if we go to Genesis 17, let's go over there so that way we can follow the scripture. Genesis 17 is talking when we see the story about Abraham and God establishing the covenant of circumcision. Genesis 17, the Bible says, and I'm going through 9 through 14, just to go specific to the point. Then God said to Abraham. Now, at the beginning of this, he's still named Abraham. This is the moment that he changed his name. Because during the process of the circumcision, there are some changes in your life. There's a transformation. It's going from Abram to Abraham. The same thing is going to happen in our life when we understand this. Our hearts are going to change. We're going to be transformed, conformed to God's will and purpose. Then God said to Abraham, As for you, you must keep my covenant. You and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, this is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So in order to understand this, we have to also go a little bit to the back. And understand the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant, as you guys know, is stipulated in stones, Ten Commandments, a lot of laws. But then we have the new covenant through Jesus Christ, which is by faith. We already talked about that. Now, when God established signs, something to remember, something that you are not forgetting His promise to you, like, for example, the ark that He put the rainbow, right, according to the Bible, the same thing is going to be with this, with the circumcision. According to the Bible, it's based on remembering. It's a sign that you are a Jew, that you are a Hebrew. So you are a person that is establishing a covenant between you and God, that you receiving that promise from God. So that's the covenant. God is promising you something. I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to give you prosperity. I'm going to save you. I'm going to heal you. A promise, a covenant. And you are accepting that. But you have to follow some principles so that way you can be in compliance with that covenant and God will honor that from you. Simple principle, right? So that's the concept over here. He made that happen so the people can understand, hey, I have a covenant with you and me, so you follow my instruction, what I'm giving to you, the blessing, the covenant, and don't worry, I will take care about you. So the only responsibility that we have is to change that heart and then follow Him. Now, the thing that he was sharing over here is really important because we will go through some principles which is going to teach us how we can change that heart. Hallelujah. Now, just some data that I want to share with you guys. Right now, in the world, according to some data that I read, and this data is like back from 2017, it is that 30% of the people in the world, they're circumcised. Now, 627 million of them, inside of them, there's a 68% of those 27 million, they were following this as a religious practice, which is the Islam. They were just following that as a religious thing. Believe it or not, I was impressed with this number. Just 1% out of those 627 million, it was Jews. Right? For me, it's like, whoa. Anyway, you know that Islam is also coming from Abraham. So it's from the same father, right? So they're following that. But it is impressive for me that just 1% out of the 6 million people, it was just you. The 13% is Northern Americans, us. 13% out of that are following that. But there's a different mindset. And this is the point that I want to get over here. Circumcision, people have it as a different purpose. Number one, some people believe that it's because hygiene. Some other people believe because religious thing, because it's something established from God. Some other people believe because other reason. They say, oh no, this is not supposed to be something that I will follow because whatever reasons. Again, I don't want to get into details. I'm going to let you guys explain that later to your kids. So the point it is that some of those concepts that is happening externally on the people, God wants to use that as a sign for remembering the covenant that He have with us, the promise, why he created you, why He gave you a purpose to be here in the earth. Are we really following Him? Are we really trusting in God and following Him? Because if we are doing that, then we have our hearts circumcised. Let's go really quick to Romans. Let's go to Romans 2. Sorry, we're gonna talk about circumcision. I'm circumcised, so we're going some scriptures just to relay or not getting too much out of context. But in 17, chapter 2 of Romans, it says, "Now you, if you call yourself a you, if you rely on the law and boast in God, if you know His will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you, then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? This is something like learn like the thief judged by his own condition. I don't know if you follow me on that one. So the thief, a person that is steals stuff, he's judging by his own condition. So we have to be careful with the hearts that we are. You who say, sorry, let's go back to 21. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, is blasphemed but among the Gentiles because of you. We have to be careful how we present ourselves. What is the testimony that we're giving in front of the people? Circumcision has value if you observe the law. This is Paul talking to the Romans. But if you break the law, you have become as though you had not been circumcised. So then, if those who are not circumcised keep the law requirements, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a lawbreaker. A person is not a Jew who is only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outwardly or outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code, such as a person prays is not from other people, but from God. That's the point. The circumcision, it should be in your heart, not externally. So in other words, according to this scripture, we can be Jews. According to this, if you are circumcised your heart inside of you and follow God, according to this, you are like a Jew. Because that's a principle, a promise, a covenant that it was for the Jews, right? Now, are you and I, we're descendants maybe from him? From Abraham? So that promise is going right now through the scripture, the covenant. And that circumcision of the heart is by the Spirit of God. And if we get that circumcision of the heart through the Spirit of God, then it's by God, it's not by man, according to that in Romans. So it's not that we are just following the law like we always talk about it. I'm just following what it says over here. I'm in compliance. I'm good to go. So I don't need Jesus Christ because I can do that. But now we know and we already faced this a long time ago and say, I cannot handle it. So because I cannot handle that, then Jesus Christ did it. Now by faith, we are trusting in that and we can receive salvation. That's the way that we can transform our hearts or circumcise our hearts. How we can do that? Again, please, I'm not going in details, but try to understand me. You guys are older enough to understand me and follow me. The second thing, because according to the Bible, if we go to Deuteronomy, let's go to Deuteronomy really quick. Deuteronomy, let's do 10:16. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart. This is a New King James. The foreskin of your heart. The second thing that I want to share with you guys is the foreskin. What is that? Why God mentioned that? Why you have to remove that out of your heart? Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. The foreskin, according to the Bible, is the external part. It is what is exposed. According to the Greek and the Hebrew, both of them refer to the same thing. It is what is exposed. It is kind of, let's just use as a reference, maybe Victor maybe can help me with the cops or something like that, right? Or maybe also the warriors. When they try to cover, when they're fighting or something like that, they're not exposed to the enemy because they're using a coverage, a protection. Now, when they're going outside of that protection, they're exposed and they're fighting or, you know, in the battle, they are exposed. So the same concept with this thing. There's something in your heart that maybe the enemy of our souls create in you. That foreskin outside of the heart. Maybe abuse, maybe bullying, maybe, I don't know, rejection. Maybe something happened in your life, and we create that foreskin out of our heart. And God wants us to remove that foreskin out of the heart, because that's not letting Him to be in compliance with the covenant that He has. He wants to remove that is making you to be exposed to the enemy. He wants to remove that so that way He can be your covenant, to your covering, your protection. We have to remove that. I know it's hard. I went through my situations. You also went through your situations. But it's time to remove that foreskin out of our heart and be circumcised. One thing of the circumcision, according to the original word of circumcision, it is cut around. And you're going to cut around that foreskin out of your heart. Deuteronomy 10:6 says, therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be still stiff-necked no longer. Jeremiah 4:4, it says, circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. This is the Bible, it's not me, please. You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. And the evils of your doings is because the enemy is influencing us, creating that foreskin in our hearts, not letting God get in there and bless us. Continue converting us according to His will. God is asking you today and asking me, remove that. Remove anything that is not from me. Remove it. Take it out. Establish that covenant in your heart and be transformed. Acts 7:51. You stiff-necked people, your hearts are ears and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. The third point and last one that I want to share with you guys is uncircumcised. Because I want to show you the importance of doing the circumcision of your heart. According to this, Paul is talking in Acts here, 7:51, saying, you stiff-necked people. And this is the same thing when we go to back to the Old Testament. Stiff-necked people. Are we being like that with God right now? Because He says your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestor. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And that's maybe why sometimes we are not seeing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because we have to remove that. There's some story or really a reference according to that. And it says, being stiff-necked is being stubborn and difficult to control. The Bible often uses this figure of speech to describe Israel's attitude toward God. Originally, the term was used to describe an ox that refused to be led by the farmer's halter. When a farmer hitched a team of oxen to a plow, he directed them by gently poking them in the heels or neck with a sharp needle.
to get them to pick up a speed and turn. An ox that resisted being led in this way by the farmers was called stiff-necked. A stiff-necked animal or person does not want to turn its head to follow another path. And that's what they were referring in the Bible when Paul was saying that, or any other person in the Bible when they mentioned that. So sometimes I think we need that needle, right? We need that needle so that way we can turn to God's path. Because sometimes you just want to do what you want or what we want. And that's what God wants. He wants to change that, remove that, so that way we are not uncircumcised and we are circumcised, so that way we can receive His glory in our life. Let's go really quick to Colossians 2:6. Yeah, Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your life in Him. That's all over here, right? We believe in Jesus Christ, we're saved, okay? So this is pretty much talking to us right now. Rooted and built up in Him strength in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. We're talking about Christ here. In Him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by a human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Hallelujah for that one. Praise the Lord. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Hallelujah to that one also. Praise the Lord. He exposed them over there. He said, this is done. It's finished. So He already went over that. He had the power over that. And we have that Christ in our life. And we have that circumcision when we believe in Him. But sometimes, again, we have to be careful with that experiences that we have, that the enemy manipulate our lives so that way we can be separated from God. And we have to remove that. Cut it around. Remove it. Take it apart. Take it away. So that way we can be circumcised in our hearts and we can be blessed. I want to leave you with Philippians 3. Hallelujah. Philippians 3. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is not trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, We who serve God by His Spirit, hallelujah, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. This is Paul. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Paul, not me. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. This man, it was perfect, right? Wow. Amazing. But he's using that as a comparison and say, I'm not boasting on that. I estimate that nothing. Because he understands the circumcision of his heart. He changed everything. Removed that external stuff. Righteousness by the law, by the scripture. No, he said, by the heart, circumcised, removing everything over there. And by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ, I will boast on that. Praise God. Praise Jesus Christ. In that one is the one that we are saved and we will be transformed. It's really interesting because God is so perfect and amazing that He specified number 8. Maybe you can ask the question. I don't know if you ask the question independently and say, why 8? Why not 3? Why not 5? 10, 24, why 8? And some people, science, not spiritually, science, it says that the newborn, in day number 5 or between 5 or 7, depending on them, they're not ready to go through that process because they're missing a vitamin K, which is really important for the clots, the blood clots. Interesting, right? But God knows that. God is amazing, and He established that specifically so that way He can do that. So the same thing. Number 8, it means transformation. It means new beginning. It means I'm being transformed. That's why Abraham changed to Abraham, because as a new regeneration, it will change his life to follow God and forget about anything else that is not from God. Regeneration, which is going back to the original path, the original place. We need to learn this and remove that stiff neck out of our life and move forward and believe in God and continue trusting in Him and circumcise our hearts. That's our responsibility. It is in our side to remove those stuff. And once again, you, me, we are different persons that went through different situations. But the enemy, I know most of the time, he manipulates those stuff so that way we can be discouraged, losing faith, follow his path and not God's path, and we can be separated from God, which is going to be sin. That's what he wants. And that's the part that I always feel like, because I know I have been there. And we're still fighting in some things from the past, right? But we need to remove that. We need to remove that out of our hearts so we can be circumcised. We can turn around, cut that, remove it, circumcised, which it means in the original Greek, regeneration. So it means like you have to be regenerated in your life so that way you can be transformed according to His will. Praise God for that. Amen. That's the circumcision of our hearts. You have to use that as a reference, the one physical external, because God established that as a covenant. But then with Moses, they continue putting that as a statement to continue applying internally. But he didn't wait until the new covenant with Jesus Christ. He was talking about that from Deuteronomy. The heart. We have to change it. We have to circumcise our hearts. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and moment. Thank you for this opportunity. We praise you. We worship you. We declare that today that we are learning more about the circumcision of our hearts, you will continue blessing us and transforming us. Please, God, help us to remove that foreskin from our heart. Remove anything that is not from you. Removing anything that is coming from the evil one, which he don't have any part anymore here, because Jesus Christ already finished that. He get exposed, and now Jesus Christ is over that. Jesus win. So we have the belief and we have the trust in Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are continue having the confidence that you will bless us and transform us to be according to your will, according to your purpose. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.